Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Me, Carl Langdon, and Mark Reddings with you tonight. It was an amazing day yesterday. If you were there, one of the 50,000 strong support fans to farewell Josh Kennedy. Did you see the Freo Dockers on the weekend? How good were they? Collingwood fans, how are you going? 11 straight wins and some negatives tonight too. When we look at Paddy Cripps, who's been offered 2 weeks suspension, and Tim Kelly, who's been offered 1 week suspension. We're going to be having a chat to Adam Simpson shortly. We'll ask that question about Tim Kelly and whether they're going to challenge at Skeet. How are you?
Carl, good evening to you. Yes, it was a special occasion yesterday. Great to be at Optus Stadium. 50,000 were there. That's what we hoped for. That's what we got. We got a pretty good game of footy as well. Josh Kennedy kicked his 8. We had this discussion on Thursday night as to how many goals he would know. I was a fair bit off the mark. I said 5, yeah. And I was shallow. So Carl was Mr. Conservative, had the 2, and we had some callers tell us that he'd get no goals and all sorts of scenarios, but it was a bit of fun along the way. Unfortunately for the Eagles, though, they didn't get the result. They were beaten. And from here on in, they have to find the 8 goals going forward in the Derby and, of course, all the brilliance that he brings to the table, Josh Kennedy. But he bowed out without the win, but certainly with a remarkable 8 goals next to his name. So the most any players kicked this season in the AFL.
No, I'm just having a look at some of the highlights. And Rioli and Raoul earlier this season when you talk about Paddy Cripps and what happened to him. Now, he's been off for 2 weeks. For something that I see as being very, very similar, except for the outcome to Archie, who obviously was subbed out of the game due to concussion. With Matty Raoul, he got up and played on, which seemed to mean that it was less severe and that Rioli was in the contest. It was something that the Eagles challenged. So I'll be interested to see whether the Blues go down that path, given the vision that we've seen in other instances, which haven't given the same outcome.
It is a result. Based business. And that's exactly what we've seen here, Carl. Unfortunately for Paddy Cripps and particularly for Carlton, who've got to win their last 2 games, or certainly one of their last 2, to guarantee they play finals. If he's not there, their chances diminish. They've got Melbourne followed by Collingwood. That's going to be a tough proposition for them. And look, the Brownlow medal is the other aspect that Paddy Cripps, one of the warm favourites for that. Just an adjunct to all the footy news. All Australian selectors met today, our own Glenn Jakovich heading to Melbourne to have a chat about a squad, which I think will be 40 in total. And, of course, so many contenders on that front. But, yes, Fremantle with a lot of players that will be in the conversation. West Coast, not so many.
I don't think there'll be any.
In fact, none. Yeah, that's been, I was trying to be generous.
No, there won't be any. Look, one thing about Simo, we need to ask him about the longer-term outlook. They don't like to use the term rebuild, I know. So we'll see what that looks like and what the future looks like without Josh Kennedy, because he's one magnet that won't be on the board going forward. 133-882. Some of the other news headlines, thanks to Polaris. Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. The contracts that was signed today. Bailey Smith gets a 2-year deal at the Bulldogs. He's 21 years of age. He hasn't been playing too bad, in my opinion, Scoot. Yep. And Jamie Elliott at the Pies, he's 29. They give him a 3-year deal, so that takes him through to 32. I was a little bit surprised that Bailey Smith only got the 2 years. I would have thought that, you know, he might have got something a little bit more longer term, given the length of some of the contracts dished out to younger blokes that have been given out just recently.
Yeah, and Jamie Elliott obviously gets a little bit of a GST for that goal after the siren against the Bombers, which was quite extraordinary to give him a new contract. And he's a gun player. Look, Collingwood are the team that have just snuck up. They've got 11 wins in a row. In fact, this is the first time, I think, going back almost 100 years, or certainly a long time, 3 clubs have won in different stages of the season 10 consecutive matches in a row. Melbourne, Geelong, and Collingwood. So it's shaping up as a terrific final series, and Fremantle have found their mojo, refound their form. And I tell you what, that fast deck at Marvel Stadium under the roof, that suits them to an absolute T. So they've got a derby to win, the Giants, and they just need Melbourne or Sydney or Collingwood just to have a stutter or two, and a top 4 spot is potentially there.
Now, did you tune in and have a bit of a look at any of the highlights from the Commonwealth Games? Because I know that you haven't been getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and to be perfectly honest, nor have I, because I needed a couple of hours sleep in calling 3 games of footy on the weekend and getting up early and doing fishing shows and other things. But we've had some incredible performances. We've wound back the clock when it comes to the men's 1,500 metres, going back to the 60s, I think. It was the last time we'd actually been able to achieve a victory in that particular event. Peter Bowl falls narrowly short, trying to chase down the Kenyan at the end of the race, and he falls agonisingly short. We've won when it comes to the T20 cricket for the first time. Shelley Nitzky's going to join us from Birmingham later on tonight.
Yeah, and the netballers, fantastic to see them. They've had some issues at the Comm Games. They were beaten by England going back 4 years ago, and they get the result against Jamaica. Fantastic result for them. And Stacey Marinkovic, who would have felt a bit of heat because Jamaica beat Australia during the pool matches. So some anxiety, I'm sure, but they get the result. And yeah, it's been a really good couple of weeks or 10 days for the Australians over there at Birmingham.
Yeah, well, last night, 7 more gold medals, 9 silvers, 3 bronze, takes our tally to 66 gold medals, 55 silver, 53 bronze. And the last night of competition is tonight, and then the closing ceremony is going to be on in the early hours, which I'm sure you'll be up watching, Skate.
Absolutely, Cal. I'm sure you'll be joining. We'll be texting each other as the... We're no hope. I'll be really far. We'll be absolutely dead to the world.
What's hot for you? Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company, taste of the Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. I wanted to throw out this little one. Now, given that you were open to the Eagles winning and that didn't happen, but JK kicking a bag, which he subsequently did, have you or can you recall some finishes, some farewells like that across any code? Well, where someone has just finished played their last performance or and been farewelled in that sort of way off the back of, like, that was just amazing.
Yeah, and I'll give you a couple of quick examples. Glenn Jankovic, and he obviously gave me this information, his last match, I remember it really well. He actually started forward, kicked 3 goals in the first quarter of his final match. And, of course, that's exactly the same tally that Josh Kennedy has, because he mentioned to me at quarter time, he said, guess what, we share that as 3 goals. But, of course, Jacko stopped at that point, didn't go on and kick a bag after that. Jacko finished with a victory next to his name, and the margin, 27 points. I remember Blue McKenna, his last game. I think he's wearing long sleeves from memory at Subiaco Oval, and he kicked a goal late in the match there. I think Ben Cousins might have passed it off to him. So he finished off with a nice moment or two. There's so many that you mentioned outside of footy, etc. But, yeah, the fairy tales are there, but there are also some that fall flat because half the time, Carl, these athletes, like Josh, who are battling knee injuries or fatigue, they just don't have any petrol left in the tank.
No, well, most of the time you go out in a car, mate, in the back of a car.
well, Brad Shepherd's a perfect example of not being able to appear or play a game to his utmost ability at the end of his career.
Yeah, Dan Venable's another one who obviously, he got the tour around in the car as well. I think he actually went around with Shep from memory. They were in the same car.
Off the top of my head, Tom Brady, we thought it was his farewell when he won a Super Bowl. He keeps going. So there are some absolute legends who find a way to get out on top. And, yeah, maybe you've got some of your own. 133-882.
We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll come back and be joined by the coach of the West Coast Eagles, Adam Simpson, next. It's 6:15.
Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage. Cars of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. 133-882 is our number if you'd like to join us. And as we normally do here on a Monday, we touch base with the West Coast Eagles for Dig Deep on Sports Day with Digger West. And it's fantastic to have the coach of the West Coast Eagles, Adam Simpson, joining us here on Sports Day. Simo, welcome, mate. How are you going?
G'day, Mark. G'day, Carl. How are we going?
We're going okay. All right, mate. Yeah, it was an amazing game yesterday. Look, I know in the end you go out to win games of footy, and you certainly got very, very close. A couple of kicks at the end were so close to going through the big sticks. But the occasion and the finish by a legend of your club, by Josh Kennedy, was just incredible.
Yeah, it was a massive day. Big build-up for the week, and, you know, I was a little bit concerned on how the boys were going to handle it, and the way we started was a little bit off, wasn't it, to kick the first 3 goals. And unfortunately, we could never really peg that back. We were all, you know, game was, after the 10-minute mark of the first quarter, it was pretty much an even affair. So, and then JK to do what he did. I mean, I knew we were going to give him a bit of supply. I knew the boys were going to look for him. We might have gone overs a little bit on occasions, but when he was in that good of touch and the form he was in, I was really happy for JK, and obviously we had a good swing. I think competitively we were up there for the fight. We just couldn't get it done, unfortunately.
Yeah, the third quarter probably let you down. You conceded a break, and then, as you said, you had a throw at the stumps in the last quarter. Had the ball deep inside your 50 for a large portion of time, but just couldn't strike the blows.
No, we've, and that's happened to, since the bye, I think our effort's been there, and our ability to try and stay in the game and, you know, play at our best is, you know, we're having a go. But there's moments in the games, moments in quarters where we concede multiple inside 50s and scores. And the third quarter was, you know, obviously another period of time where we just couldn't get any supply. We couldn't get out of our back half. And, you know, a bit of that's experience and handling a game when momentum's against you. And, you know, unfortunately, we haven't been able to rectify that. And it's hurt us for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Adam, so much energy, both mental and physical, went into yesterday's game. How hard is it then to try and lift the boys up to a Derby 55, where, of course, Fremantle's got so much to play for, and at least on the outside, West Coast not as much?
Yeah, you're right. It's part of our maturity, part of, you know, the season, and it's a Derby. So, you know, I spoke to the leaders today, and they go, no, we're all good. We know how big these games are, and yeah, we also know where Fremantle are at, and you know what they got ahead of them, and where we're at as well. But yeah, I think we'll move on pretty quick. JK's not here today; he's probably still going somewhere. And life moves on. I thought we handled the week, and the club managed it really well for a legend of the club. But it's funny how quick you can move on. Like, you get to Monday, you come in, you lick your wounds, you look at some vision, and his magnet's not on the board. So yeah, hopefully we can bounce back as quick as we can, and you know, trying to get the right cattle on the field is our next step. We've got a few you know, sore boys today, so we'll see how we go. But I'll definitely, you know, we'll switch on to Fremantle tomorrow probably.
Tim Kelly offered a week. I'm not sure what your thoughts are at this stage, but Matt Trevioffis had his say.
Yeah, big blow. I mean, we're going to have a look at it, see if it's worth challenging or not. So I haven't made a decision on that yet. It's not my area. They just tell me if we should or shouldn't, boys. So we'll find out. I'll find out in the next couple of hours what we're going to do there. But, yeah, if he doesn't play, you know, it's going to be disappointing because it's such a big game. He's one of our best players as well. So, yeah, hopefully we, if we do decide to appeal, we get off.
Just on the absence of JK now, Simo, who have you got waiting in the wings? I know Oscar Allen's out for the rest of the season, so he's not even going to be a consideration to be a magnet on the board. But obviously, he's going to be a very tough player to fill the hole that's been left behind. Who are the guys outside of Oscar Allen that you think can compete for his spot in that big key forward position?
It's a tough one, Carl, and you would have gone through it yourself in your era when some of the you know, legends retire, you know, who steps up next after Sumic retires. That's the type of conversation we're having. But when you look at it, you know, we've got Jack Darling still got plenty of football ahead of him. Oscar Allen's 23. And then what we haven't had a look at yet, really, is Nick rucking for a full season, having a good forward ruck behind him, like a Bailey Williams type or a Dixon or Jack Williams who's playing, you know, in his first year at waffle level. So that's probably the last piece of the puzzle. But you don't need too many. You just get one more good one, and hopefully Oscar comes back and fills the void as best he can. But it's going to be very hard to replace a guy who's kicked over 700 goals. So we're not delusional. But we think we've got some good kids coming through, and if we can get everyone on the track, it might look a bit different.
That being said, Simo, you'll probably give me a very straight bat here, but Luke Jackson expected to come home. Fremantle expected to get his signature. Any thoughts on how he'd fit in? Because he looks illogical.
Oh, I forgot to mention we'd have him as well.
Well, just a thought.
That'll take place. I mean, that's all part of, you know, this time of year, and it's probably started a little bit earlier, I think, when people are out of contract. And obviously, there's some, you know, go-home factor connected to Western Australian clubs, as is there with, you know, interstaters that we get to come here as well. So we'll work through all that. It looks at the end of the year. And it's a lot of pressure to put on a young player. I think he's 20, 21 years old, and he's got some big decisions to make in the next few weeks whilst trying to, you know, win a premiership. So, yeah, we'll back away and let him make a call.
The Jermaine Jones move has worked. He's been playing well.
Yeah, we just thought we'd been a bit light on for speed in the back half, and he's been great. Yeah, he's what, probably 6 or 7 games there now, and every week when we look at our defenders, it's not just how they defend. It's what they do off the ball. When do they recognise, geez, I better go find my man here, or when do I squeeze up the ground, and how do I get the ball in my hands? All those things that, you know, takes a while to learn. He's picked it up pretty well. So, yeah, I think he played another pretty good game in the weekend and a really good second half last week, and he's added a bit of dash, which has been great.
With the younger crop of players that you've got a chance to experiment with due to circumstance this season, O'Neill's got another opportunity on the weekend. He's been in and out of the side. But players like Hoff and Bazo, have you been pleased with the progress that they've made?
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time to get everyone a look. And, you know, the age profile of our group is not going to go from one of the oldest to the youngest overnight. So we need to be patient with that, but we also need to give some opportunity for some of those guys to grow. And I think Hoff's a great example for us. He's played pretty much every game in the back half of the year. Bazo had a week off with his ankle and his sub on the weekend, but we'll get him back in pretty quickly. And to see how they go, and you know, throw him in the deep end, and got two games left. So any chance we get to give, you know, those guys an opportunity. And O'Neill's, I think, stepped up reasonably well in the last few weeks, and they're going to need him even more. And Cully's, you know, obviously got his suspension to deal with, but he's another young player that, you know, we're pretty much untapped, really. So, yeah, it's not going to be a full side of young kids this week, but we understand what needs to happen. So we're on our way.
Now, we're calling the game yesterday, Simo, and it's hard not to be hoping the Eagles get up for the obvious reasons with Josh, etc. And the turnovers, just quickly, look, and I know the camera goes straight on to you, but you have to have the poker face, but how hard is it?
Oh, I've been doing it for 200 games, Mark, so I broke the phone yesterday, actually. The first time I've broken a phone, so I don't know why. I can't remember, but I'm assuming it wasn't good. It wasn't a celebration phone break, put it that way. Fundamentals are really important, and you know, the ability to stay clean in the contest, and then when the game elevated in the third quarter, you know, they're a very good contested team, Adelaide. They stepped it up, and we just didn't manage it as well as we could or should have, and that's where we've got to get to. When teams really challenge, can we keep our fundamentals sound, and you know, give us some field position just through some grunt work, not try and take on an extra tackle or hit a kick that might not be there. Just be nice and predictable. And that's our challenge. And that's part of the gaps that we have in our style of play at the moment that we need to keep working on.
Clubs don't like to call it rebuilds, but you committed long-term to West Coast until 2025. What's your focus from here for the club and the direction you want to take?
Well, we've been on the path, Carl. I mean, pretty much last year went to the draft. And this year, as it's turned out, we're going to be second last or last, so we'll hit the draft again. We're pretty clear on our direction. What is a challenge is, you know, what does it look like if we do get Sheed, Cole, Allen, McGovern, you know, Nat Nui full season?
Chessa.
Like, do you bounce Chessa, or is it a longer term situation? So I think we're going to stick to the draft, stick to getting the best talent we can to the club, and work our way through it. And that's just not a quick fix. So we recognised this probably 2 years ago where it was heading, and now it's about going through the hard times to hopefully set us up for the good times. And it's just not a quick fix.
And it'd be handy to keep blokes fit during a pre-season too, wouldn't it, mate? I mean, you know, to compound the problems, you had a lot of your senior players just break down at a time that impacted badly, and then COVID hit, and it's been a really tough start to the season, which really you just haven't recovered.
No. And COVID had an effect, but then the injuries, you know, I mean, Yo's another classic that, you know, we haven't had him properly for a couple of years. So that's not any excuse. I mean, it's a whole program we're looking at here. So if we get that right, we get our full list available, which years gone by we have, you know, in between 15 and 19, we had a really good availability. So that's the challenge for us, to get these guys fit and fresh and available for round one next year. And with a sprinkling of young talent and growth, that's, you know, hopefully it's an exciting future. But at the moment, it looks pretty tough, doesn't it?
It does, and it is Derby Week, and there has been at times through over the distance and the journey that there have been upsets, and there's nothing I don't think that your fans would love more than spoiling a Dockers party, mate. So all the best for the weekend. Look forward to seeing the contest.
Good on you, boys. Appreciate it.
Adam Simpson joining us here on Sports Day for Digging Deep in what all great sports people do, just like the team at Digger West, the earth-moving attachment specialist. What's good for you? Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We'll take your calls after this here on Sports Day.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and I just wonder from the Eagles fans, with what we just had a chat to Adam Simpson about, do they see a future with the West Coast Eagles, and how quickly do you think they can turn things around? With Oscar Allen, Jeremy McGovern, you've got Tommy Cole, Elliot Yeo, Dom Sheed, Campbell Chesser. They're probably, if they're fit and available, Chesser we don't know because he was their number one draft pick at number 14 this year, so a youngster that came with very good credentials. We've seen Hoff and Bazo, two of their earlier picks. Clark has had a couple of games. He's back running around in the WAFL after he sustained a couple of injuries as well, which has kept him sidelined a bit. We saw Langdon and Petrescu Seaton come back into the side, and O'Neill, which who has been a player under pressure. Are you seeing enough from those? I mean, Petrocelli's another one that I think that I can throw into that group where, and Nelson probably, are the ones that are going to be certainly right under the microscope, because when your team's under pressure and you're not getting a regular game, which most of those players haven't been, they're sort of the first blokes out of the boat when another player comes back from injury. They seem to be the ones that get sidelined all the time. And Josh Rotham's probably another one that sadly has been put into that group. Now, we saw him trialled in a little bit of a different role. And some of these guys are going to have to be tried in a different role, or sadly they won't be there because they have not been experimented with very much from what I've seen in the last two or three years.
I don't think Eagles supporters should be surprised. They might even be encouraging the club to make, 10, 12 list changes at the end of this season. So that's the result of winning two matches this year thus far. I think 25 of their past 29 games. So it's been a very thin result based last year and a half for them. So yeah, there are players, and you mentioned them all. I didn't have to go to reiterate what you said there, but they probably haven't shown enough over long enough to guarantee their spots. So that's the big decision that Adam Simpson and the club is going to have to make moving forward. And then to bring in the right type of player is the next task. So I think Simo is pretty honest. He knows that he's got a fairly long haul ahead of him to get this side up and running again, but he's happy that he's got till 2025 certainly next year. There has to be more than two wins, Carl, for otherwise the Natives will get very restless.
But we have seen and been, exposed to more by circumstance than anything else, which is, given Bailey Williams a good run at it. How have you seen, and Harry Edwards, another
like
one?
Like him? Yeah, like Harry. Yeah, I think Harry's, I want to persist with Bailey Williams, 20, likewise.
Now 22?
Yeah, I've got to say I was a bit disappointed and frustrated for him yesterday when he had two chances late in the game and couldn't quite convert. But yeah, I think Adam Simpson sees enough in him to use him as that backup ruckman. But the question is, it lays at the feet of Nick Natanui. He talks about him being able to play it a whole season. That has been few and far between. And that, is he, size-wise, is he too large, Carl, to get that mobility factor that Riley O'Brien showed us yesterday? At times, around the ground, really made Nick Nat get on his bike.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that the injuries have affected him and a number of the others. And I think that, that's something that they know and they need to try and mitigate going into the next season, because the one thing that has hampered them very badly is the number of players that haven't been available. And it has been, the effect of COVID that got them early, but it wasn't the main factor. The main factor was they already had a very extensive injury list prior to COVID. And when COVID hit, it just made it that little bit worse, because all of a sudden, when you are already injured, you can't train as much as you want to or do the type of training that the club wants you to. So in the end, they haven't, as we just discussed, they haven't been able to recover. But going forward, you've got to put that to one side. It's from the players that we have seen get out there and be fit, those that haven't had the interruptions, and whether the supporters actually think that they're going to be good enough. Because if you think they're going to be good enough, then you'll front up each week because you can see the hope. But I just don't know that there's probably, you know, certainly up to 10 players, unfortunately, that I think that West Coast, if they're really seriously about rebuilding, then they must cut deep and they've got to make some hard decisions.
Two quick questions. Oscar Allen, is he the automatic, if he's fit next year, play in Kennedy's position? And secondly, isn't it a pity that Nick Nat doesn't take more marks forward to become that option, resting forward or certainly going forward, to be that big inside 50 to support Jack Darling, because they certainly need that at the current moment. Now, Carl, Thursday night, we were getting calls about Josh Kennedy and about how many goals he'd kick, and we got an interesting call, and we're about to speak to this gentleman now, and he went to his first AFL game at the weekend, courtesy of you. You got him a ticket, in fact, two tickets to go and see the Eagles play the Adelaide Crows, and it's with great pleasure we welcome to find out about his experience at Optus Stadium yesterday. Pankaj is going to join us. I hope I got that pronunciation right. I'm not sure that's spelt correctly, but he joins us online. Pankaj, good evening to you.
Hi. Pankaj it is.
Pankaj.
Thank you, Pankaj. Now, Pankaj, how did you enjoy the experience yesterday?
It was magnificent. It was awesome. All thanks to Kyle Langdon and 6PR.
What did you enjoy? 50,000 fans were there. Your first game at Optus, your first game of AFL football. What did you think of the atmosphere?
It was amazing. I started going to the seats that Kyle generously gave us. First thing first, it was awesome going there. Then the eagle flying around the oval, and then Josh Kennedy all over the place. Like, he scored 50 points out of 86. What a great game. What a great bloke. What a great performer.
Now, how about your son?
I did say that he will score 5 goals. He exceeded my expectation. He exceeded, I think, a lot of haters' expectations.
Oh, mate, he exceeded everyone's predictions, mate. I mean, that was just wild what unfolded. Him kicking 8, that's only the second time that anyone's kicked 8. In fact, it's the first time that anyone in any game this season has kicked 8 goals. So it was quite amazing from that aspect. What about your young son who was playing a game of soccer in the morning? Is he a convert, mate? Are we going to see him running around bouncing an oval-shaped footy, mate?
I can't say about that. It's too quick a question right now. But he was really, really impressed the way JK took those marks, like coming in front of everyone and like sliding around. And the first goal JK hit, my son said that it's too hard. And JK just nailed it. Second one, again, it was a hard angle. He nailed it. So, the couple of times other Eagles players ended up not hitting in the goal right in front, he was just telling me, how can that guy hit in right into goal from a difficult angle when others can't hit it right in front? So that was a compliment for the game.
We still ask the question, Pankaj.
Yeah, we still do. We still do. And I think we will still keep asking it for another 6 or 8 months until we see another Josh Kennedy coming up in the Eagle fight.
Well, good on you, mate. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you enjoyed the experience, and hopefully it gives you the appetite to go along and enjoy a few more games of footy into the future. Good luck, mate. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. And special thanks to Carl, special thanks to 6PR, special thanks to all the footy lovers around WA. And let's hope Eagles can fly next season
good
even
on you,
higher than what they have done.
Good on you, Pankaj. Thanks for joining us on 6PR. There he is, Pankaj, joining us, first game of the footy. You mentioned appetite. I just want to quickly bring up a really interesting talking point from the weekend. Mm-hmm. It was on Friday night, and a former Docker, Ed Langdon, who came out and said about Collingwood.
One-trick ponies.
One-trick pony and all duck, no dinner, which we thought was great in the media, but obviously Collingwood and Craig McRae spoke after the game saying, well, we think it's fantastic. People have personality, speak their mind. And then I subsequently heard on 3RW, I was listening on the radio when I was going for a walk on Saturday morning, that it might have been Braden Maynard who came out and said, oh, yes, this was written on the whiteboard.
No, they said it
as motivation.
Yeah, so they put it in the WhatsApp group to the players.
Yep.
Right. And then obviously the coach found out about it. So he actually got in on it as well. But so the words that Langdon had actually said was circulated on the WhatsApp group to all the boys. And so then when you saw, and I'm sure that you did, the contest on the wing when Langdon got hold of the footy, there was about eight Collingwood blokes ran from wherever they were and actually were down there just pounding him into the MCG turf. It was quite amazing to actually see the power of those sorts of negativities, which is why coaches actually don't want you bad-mouthing the opposition. They don't want you stepping out of line. That is a perfect example of what can happen.
Yeah, but the media, we're so bored of those inane, totally nondescript statements that footballers make. As soon as they make one, we put it in headlines to use by opposition sides. Unfortunately, well, we think it's unfortunately in the media, that our sportsmen and women aren't like Americans who just give it to each other. Mind you, Ricky Stewart in the NRL, that's a different story altogether. Yeah. He's done that to an opposition player after the weekend at a post-match press conference. He'll be fined and maybe suspended as well for calling someone a what? Weak, gutted dog.
Yeah, and what about the description of the All Blacks by their own fans? They said festering with pus and infection, time to ring razor. And this is New Zealanders talking about their own All Blacks after they were taken to the cleaners by the Springboks. Hey?
That's pretty harsh words.
Festering with pus and infection.
For a team that has been so good for so long, they are spoilt.
Yeah, well, some would say that about the West Coast Eagles supporters too. Do you reckon they're still a destination club?
I'm not sure they ever have been a destination club, Carl, because I think the only players that want to come to WA are ex-West Australians, primarily, by and large. Not saying that that's a carte blanche, but primarily ex-West Aussies. They're definitely a destination club, more so than Fremantle in the past for obvious reasons. Success. But I never thought a Melbourne-based player had a huge desire to come over here without friends, without family, whereas I think it's a bit different for a West Aussie maybe going to Melbourne. You've got 10 clubs and the chance to play in front of, well, bigger crowds at the MCG and also MCG at Footy Heartland.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? Because when you consider the young players that come in a draft, the only one that West Coast have ever lost that they didn't want to lose was Chris Judd.
Yeah.
And yet they get Josh Kennedy. And he's a West Australian who comes home. But you look at Fremantle in more recent times too. You look at Clark and you look at Akers. And Aish is a different one.
Yep.
But Aish is a little bit like Redden in that he chose to come across. But the relationship was already built by Josh Kennedy going to Collingwood. So he and Aish...
Justin Longmuir.
Sorry.
So he was a coach there, an assistant coach, and therefore...
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's...
So that relationship. The relationship between Elliot Yeo and Jack Redden was the reason why Jack Redden ended up coming to Western Australia too. So he already had some comfort there. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Like Rory Lobb's another one, but now Rory Lobb wants to, by the sounds of it, fly away. Now, whether that's back to GWS, which is where he wanted to be traded to at the end of last year still, or whether it's now to the Western Bulldogs or somewhere down in Victoria, we don't know. But there's still, I think, no doubt that he looks like that he wants to leave Western Australia because of his partner, and that's what happens in the game. Brad Hill did the same thing. He came back to Fremantle, and then he ends up heading back, not to Hawthorn, he ends up heading back, and he's now playing for St Kilda because... The girls do rule the roost skate. We're to declare a commitment. On the other side, come back. We'll take more of your calls. 133-882. The hot topic, thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company, Taste of the Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. I would love to know farewells that you recall of maybe some of the sporting greats that maybe you're at. We are at an event where someone farewelled their sporting field on the day. Thanks to Polaris, we'll get into some of the news headlines. Thanks to Australia for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand 21 years in a row.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Now, some of that news, thanks to Polaris, and Bailey Smith has signed a two-year deal, or a two-year extension to his deal. That's till the end of 2024. Jamie Elliott, 3 years at the Pies to the end of 2025, the 29-year-old, so you'd think that would pretty much see him out. Brody Grundy, season over, stress fracture in his ankle, so he is out. Patrick Cripps has been offered a two-week suspension for the clash with Archie, jumping in the air to contest the footy, braced for contact, bumped high. Archie gets subbed out of the game due to concussion, so he's got a fair fight in his hands there. And Tim Kelly, the one-week suspension on Sam Berry, which we discussed with Adam Simpson. And Elijah Hollands, he played a pretty good game for the Gold Coast. He is the round 21 rising star. Now, Scoot, I wanted to ask you about, and something that we've been having a chat to Mark Allen about when it comes to golf and our golfing segment, which we'll probably continue the discussion around Cam Smith. Now, what's your information on Cam Smith? What do you think going to unfold there?
Well, I was just working at a function on Friday at the Royal Perth Golf Club, and there was a person who will remain nameless, but he said to me, look, I've been told very reliably, now this is all secondhand, but that Cam Smith, it's done. It's dusted. He's lived
to 130 million US.
Well, the dollars is always going to be up for conjecture, but he's going to go to live. That's confirmed. But this golfing person, who is quite credible, suggested that he wants to get to number one in the world before that is transferred across and the contract is done. He's suggesting January is when that's going to take place.
So why does he need to get to number one in the world? Is that so he can jack up the price a bit more?
Or? I don't know. This is just what I've heard secondhand. Now, it's either way, Cam Smith, it sounds that the drums are beating too loudly, aren't they?
So surely then, given the credentials of a lot of these players that have already been attracted across for the money, and you can't begrudge them, it's the same job. They're doing something that they love. They're going to beautiful places around the world. They're still going to be opportunities, even though they're playing only a 54-hole tournament right now. Do you think that the European and the PGA Tours are going to actually embrace LIV Golf? Because up until this point, they've been dead against it, and any players that sign up with it, they've been ruled out of playing in Ryder Cups and other competitions, whether that be for America or the European side. Do you think this is going to cause them to shift?
I don't think they're going to embrace, but I think they're going to be forced to come to the table, because at the end of the day, the money the Saudis have, I've got no idea how much money can be thrown around at golfers and the tour as such. So I think for the betterment of golf, it would be good to see a resolution, to see the best players on one tour, as opposed to, you know, what it was like with the World Series cricket days and cricket, was it ACB, they were floundering. So I think for the betterment of golf, come to the table, get a result. Either way, the players are going to be winners, because the money, it's going to be extraordinary.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a little golf tournament thrown up for a few people that actually can't play the game. I actually reckon that'd be quite funny, to see people like trying to swing off the first tee and they can't hit it, and they hit it into the water and all the trials and tribulations.
We wouldn't have to go too far.
No, that's right.
Just take you and I out there.
Just get some normal people off the street, because with these professionals and how they play the game, including Minjie Lee, what a wonderful performance in that tie for fourth that she was able to achieve in the Women's British Open. She didn't do what Cam Smith was able to do, but gee, she played well. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Now, after the news that's coming up next here on 6PA, we'll get into our WAFL update with Luke Meadows from West Perth. We'll have a chat to Shelley Nitsky on the back of Commonwealth Games gold for our girls in the T20, the inaugural T20 women's tournament at the Commonwealth Games. Chris Parnham, Metropolitan Jockey of the Year, will join us, and Brett Phillips on the back of Nick Kyrgios winning a double, both the singles and the doubles title over there in the USA. We'll get into our Kia top seven as well. Thanks to Kia, Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage, Cars of the Year. The news is next.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and kicking off this hour, thanks to the Kia EV6 and Sportage, the Cars of the Year, is Luke Meadows from the West Perth Footy Club. On top of the ladder, the Falcons going beautifully. G'day, Lukey. How you going, mate?
Yeah, going very well, mate. Thanks for having me.
What did you make of the result, you and the coach, after the game against the Sharks, top of the table clash on the weekend?
Yeah, obviously pretty happy with the win, mate. It's that time of year when you start getting wins, and we're trying to cement ourselves on top of the ladder. So that sort of was done on the weekend, mate. So, yeah, very pleased.
Very much the game in the balance at three-quarter time, Luke, but 5 goals to nothing, essentially, in the last quarter got the job done. East Fremantle, of course, lost Blaine Bokhurst midway through the match, and they found it pretty tough after that. But again, you found a way to win at home.
Yeah, exactly. And it's pretty pivotal for them and has been all year. So, you know, hopefully his knee isn't too bad, but obviously a bit of a turning point in the game. But, you know, apart from that, you know, that we only let them score in that second quarter off a couple of turnovers and things like that. So we thought we fixed that pretty well and, ground them down in the end.
We'll talk about your form and the midfield that you've got there, but I'm fascinated by a couple of the Bulls that you have who just wander inside 50 at their leisure. Rudy Riddick kicked 4 goals, Mitch Dobson 2, both from other clubs. And in the gym, are they both competitive? Are they both get involved with the weights, or are they just naturally built like you know what?
I think for both of them, obviously, yeah, they're both putting in work, but a lot of it's pretty natural, mate. And as you can sort of see, they're not, you know, no band by, they're pretty agile as well. So definitely glad they're on our team. Obviously both imports for the West Perth Footy Club. So I remember playing against them, especially Rudy back in the day. And, you know, definitely guys that you're on a match-up on and that whole forward line's like that, mate. Not a good match-up for offload teams.
You, when you reflect back to last week, got off to a great start, held East Fremantle goalless in the first quarter, and you held them goalless in the last quarter, and they only kicked one in that third quarter, and as you said, a couple of turnovers in that second quarter. It's a pretty comprehensive victory in the end, given that they are the, you know, they were the benchmark team going in alongside yourselves, so it's a really positive result. You should be feeling, as a group, pretty confident now.
Yeah, mate, somewhat. You sort of laid out there, but you know, obviously missing Marsh, who, again, one of their better players as well. And then also knowing, like, you know, it's, you know, we're sort of planning for the big picture now. So obviously it's a good win, but we're probably going to play them or some pretty quality teams coming up. So, obviously enjoyed the win, but definitely not settled, that's for sure.
Luke, 29 disposals for you. Back at the club, of course, you had a wonderful stint going back a couple of years ago now. Are you playing a similar role or slightly different?
Somewhat similar. It's mainly inside at this stage. I'm just trying to hold my spot at the moment. Like, with the two boys on top of the ladder as well, I'm just trying to do whatever the team needs. So, as you sort of know, we've got a bunch of guys in there. That can all play the role. So it's really just, you know, doing my part. And, you know, as you saw on the weekend, you know, guys like Mitchie Pearce and, Mitchie, Nelly, everyone could sort of get a lick of the ice cream, mate. So just doing my part when I can.
I think we've got to give credit where credit's due. Your coach has done an incredibly good job, given that first season back in the job, unsavoury circumstances leaving the Claremont Football Club. But you'd have to say that Harrow was certainly got things in the right area, and given, as you've already talked about, your seconds being right up there as well, I mean, your senior coach sets the standard.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And probably something that's been throughout the club definitely all year. It's, you know, it's more of a culture that we're trying to build. So obviously the results have come, mate. But we're doing it off the back of, you know, playing and living the values that we sort of set for each other, and there's obviously been some hiccups along the way, but just trying to stay on the positive bus, as you like to refer to it. He's done a very good job.
Speaking with Luke Meadows on Sports Day, West Perth star midfielder. Now, Luke, you went across to the VFL and your name has been mentioned as a very good waffle player who could make the transition to the AFL. Where does it sit with you now? Are you conceding or are you still hoping?
Probably neither of those ones. Look, I have and will just do whatever I can do to be the best me, really. If, you know, football, life, whatever it is, it's, a lot of that over East was, you know, a lot of experience that I was lucky enough to have. And, you know, probably from where I started, like, I'm not sure if you know too much about myself, but, you know, like 18s and I wasn't playing state footy or anything. I was I was just getting cut from Colt sides and things like that, mate. So just to have the opportunity to play state level footy and you know, to move into state with having that support network, it was something I just, you know, thought, you know, why not live in a different city and experience life over there. So very grateful for the opportunity that I have, and more of a glass half full guy, mate. So you know, I'm just happy and, you know that I can play footy at a pretty good level, and yeah, just really focusing on trying to win this flag this year, mate.
Yeah, speaking of the flag and the grand final, decision expected this week about the venue. Now, it's out of your control, but you're hoping that the Joondalup Council or those involved in putting their submission in, it'd be a pretty big boost if you could get to a grand final and play it at Joondalup. It feels like it'd be a 3 or 4 goal advantage from the get-go.
It would be nice. Look, you know, wherever they sort of put it, you know, we'd just be glad to be playing it, mate. But obviously, you know, Joondalup is a pretty nice spot for us. But yeah, look, I'm happy however it lands. Obviously, it would be an ideal at Optus, but you know, I won't be complaining too much if they put it at Joondalup. All we need to do is just get there, mate.
Now, do you have a few days off? Is it back to the grind straight away? What happens on the weekend when most of the other teams are playing, given that it was only the two games on the weekend?
Yeah, mate, I'll split around. So, look, we fortunately did enough to warrant Monday off tonight. So that was a nice little boost on Saturday night. So, yeah, pretty crazy one for us tonight. And we've just got some community club visits tomorrow and a little bit of training on the weekend. But, yeah, just enjoying the break, well-earned. I think, you know, along with myself, I think there's a few boys that are a bit banged up, as we all know, like playing footy, you know, get all those kinds of things, mate. So, yeah, just really relaxing for me.
Thank you very much for joining us, Luke. Take care, mate, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. Appreciate it, fellas.
Luke Meadows from the West Perth Footy Club. 29 disposals, 6 tackles, and on the weekend, only 2 games. West Perth getting the job done over East Fremantle by 36 points, and it was Subiaco, only 23-point winners over West Coast in the end. The Eagles hit back in that second half, and that became a little bit more competitive than what we thought it might be, Skeet. And just looking ahead for the team at West Perth, they've got East Perth, Subiaco, and I think Perth, haven't they, in their last 3 games coming home. So 3 sides that are languishing down in 7th, 8th and 9th spot on the WAFL table.
Yeah, they're 6 points clear of East Fremantle. And poor old Sharks, haven't they had some injury concerns? Well, Jono Marsh missed the match on the weekend with work commitments. And Blaine Bokhurst waiting for scans on a knee. Hopefully it's not the worst scenario, which would be, of course, an ACL. But if they lose him, hate to say it, but I can't see them winning the flag. They've struggled against South Fremantle. They struggled against West Perth at the weekend. Mind you, they beat the Falcons at the Wacker earlier this season, but gee, it's going to be tough for them. And off the back of that, yeah, Subiaco getting across the line over West Coast, but they're in 8th position, so there's no finals for the Lions in 2022.
No, and just going back to what I just said, the West Perth Footy Club don't play Perth. They actually play Swans on the way home. So Swans and East Perth, who are 2 sides that are still fighting for a spot, but right now it looks very, very unlikely that East Perth are going to be playing finals, given that they've still got 4 games in hand. Subiaco, West Perth, South Fremantle, East Fremantle, that is going to be a tough road to hoe. So cannot see them playing any part in the competition. Peel or Swans, who actually makes it, Skeet, given that they've both got 4 games to go. They've both had a rest and they're both at the moment 8-6.
Got a soft spot for Swan Districts, particularly when they play at home. They've got a bit of passion up there. Probably Peel Thunder, with the quality of their list, will get the edge. They've got South Fremantle this week. Should be a huge game. And of course, South themselves still playing for that double chance. They're currently in 4th position, but 6 points clear of Peel in 5th.
All right, there we go. That's our thoughts here on the WAFL out of the weekend, and we will get into a preview on Wednesday for Waffle on Wednesday. Our Waffle update, thanks to Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage Cars of the Year. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and thanks to Repco Authorised Service for Expert Car Service. You can book online at repcoservice.com, and it's fantastic to have this lady on your radio, Shelley Nitsky, who has been leading our girls in the T20 at the Commonwealth Games, and they have struck gold. Shell, gold medalist, how does it feel?
Yeah, it feels pretty good. It was a pretty special night last night to see the girls up there on the podium, so no, it was awesome.
Nothing left to win, Shelley. T20s, ODI World Cups, Commonwealth Games. It's the full set.
Yeah, I think, like it's probably quite a unique thing for us and for a team to be in that position. So we knew last night was a special game in more ways than one, and obviously the first Commonwealth Games, and to have a gold medal is really nice.
Yes, the boys couldn't achieve that back in Kuala Lumpur in the late 90s. I remember that well. They got silver against South Africa. But last night, let's be honest, it wasn't completely stress-free. You made 8 for 161, and India were travelling okay before being dismissed for 152.
Yeah, we were. We probably left a few runs out there. I would have liked to sort of, I think we could have got up to probably about 180. But yeah, obviously not to be, but they sort of gave us a bit of a scare with the bat and had a really good partnership through the middle. But the girls just hung in and pulled off an amazing win.
Now, tell me about the circumstances around Talia McGrath, because it was amazing when she took that catch and no one could go and give her anything because she had COVID. Is this what happened? Can you just tell us what happened here?
Yeah, it's pretty unique. I guess it's the way it is at the moment. So, unfortunately, T-Mac tested positive to COVID just not long before the start of the game. And but she's well and she was deemed fit to play. And within the rules of the Com game, she was allowed to take the field. So, obviously, with a few sort of restrictions around her. So, but the main thing is she's fine. She's feeling really well and was fit and well to play. So that was sort of how we had to approach that one.
Shell, do you think just on that case of having COVID and being allowed to play, socially distancing, do you think that is the way forward, perhaps in cricket where obviously it's a non-contact sport?
I think it's getting there eventually. You know, they treat COVID quite differently in England compared to probably what we do at home. So I think it's probably moving that way. And, you know, obviously with outdoor sports, we saw last night, it can happen and be quite safe. So I think it's definitely moving that way for outdoor sports.
Hey, Shell, I wonder, were you testing every day? And was that obviously the first time she tested positive? If so, yeah.
No, we hadn't been testing every day, so okay. She was just feeling a little bit unwell, but not too bad, and unfortunately was test positive. So not a great outcome for T-Mac, but you know, luckily it's very mild, and she was fit enough to take the field.
Yeah, because I just reflect back to my own circumstance. I actually tested positive because I was a close contact on the Monday and I had no symptoms whatsoever, and it wasn't until the Tuesday night, so it wasn't until a day and a half after, that I actually got the flu-like symptoms and had the achy bones and the fever and all that sort of thing. So sometimes it can kick in a couple of days after you test positive.
That's exactly right. I think she was feeling fine yesterday, and I haven't seen her yet today, but that's probably could be what's going to happen, because I know she actually didn't feel much at all yesterday.
Now, we're going to call her one of our own, but Beth Mooney, from a West Australian perspective, Perth scorcher at least, 61, 41, a bit of leather poisoning. We talk about what she's been able to achieve in the sport, and that was a critical innings in the scheme of things.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Moons is just unbelievable in the clutch moments in the big games. And she had a great game in the semi as well, and has just continues to get the job done. And is quite phenomenal in the T20 space, just her ability to consistently perform in a game that can be quite unforgiving at times.
Now, Meg Lanning being the skipper, and it says interim coach Shelley Nitzky. Are we going to see more of you in this vein? I mean, why does it say in the cricket release here from Cricket Australia that the interim coach?
Yeah, that's right. That's my title at the moment. So, there's a bit to play out in that space, and I guess we'll see sort of where that one ends up in the next couple of months.
Is the hat in the ring?
Potentially.
And so, Shelley, I know you just won gold in Birmingham. This team, it's quite extraordinary. And look, we often laud the performances of like the Australian Test cricket team winning 15, 16 Test matches in a row, etc. But this side, from an Australian perspective and what it's done in all forms of cricket, has to rank up there pretty highly. I'm sure you'd give them a massive tick.
Oh, 100%. Like, I think they've just, you know, obviously we've got some unbelievable players that enable us to be at that level, but we've also got a lot of heart and got a lot of fight. And I think this tournament, we probably didn't have it all our way. And I think that's why we just keep coming out on top with that real belief and that real ability to hang in the contest and fight. So when you put that together with some pretty special talent, you get a pretty special team.
just on the coaching situation, Shell, it's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, for those looking in the outside, they might say, oh, well, there's some really talented players there, and being a coach of a cricket team isn't that hard. But the work that you do behind the scenes is extensive, and the territory that you cover, because we're talking about a sport that's global and there's a lot of travelling involved, it's a big job.
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, I've had some really good assistants with me, and I think it's a matter of using them. But there's a bit that goes on with you, a lot that goes on with your planning for games, and yeah, just the managing a group, travelling around the world, I suppose, is a big part of it, and managing people. So it's certainly been a different role for me coming into head coach as an assistant before, but it's been really enjoyable.
With Shelley Nitschke, the victorious Commonwealth Games gold medalist in cricket. Shell, what's next for this group?
The girls have actually got a little bit of a break now. Some of them are staying around England to play in the 100, and then they'll be back sort of around September for some domestic stuff leading into the WBBL before a tour to India in December. So a little bit of a break from international, but still plenty of cricket going on.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Your time over there in Birmingham, we really appreciate it. Take care, Shell, and we'll see you when you're back here.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. Shelley Nitschke, who's doing a great job. Interim coach. I don't reckon interim will be there for too much longer, to be honest, Skeet. I think that she is the lady for the job. And as long as she can negotiate terms, by the sound of it, I think the hat's in the ring. I reckon it is firmly in the ring. There's no doubt about that. Nice to have your company here on Sports Day. We will clear a commitment on the other side. Come back. And Chris Parnham will join us off the back of winning on Saturday night the Metropolitan Jockey of the Year Award.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And on Saturday night at a big function, which sadly I wasn't able to go to, Skeet, because we were calling the footy here on 882 6PR. But champion rider Chris Parnham celebrated a remarkable season by taking home the award for leading Metropolitan Jockey. Outstanding form, including wins in the WATC Derby and the Summer Scorcher. And I'm happy to say that he joins us here on Sports Day. Chris, welcome. How are you, mate? Congratulations.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Did you have to do anything different this season? I mean, how difficult has it been to maintain your status at the top of the tree?
Yeah, not a lot different, to be honest, to the season before. Like, I kind of, so I've had a couple of seasons now with really good opportunities and just have to keep showing up and riding well. And, you know, obviously the results tend to flow after that. But it was a bit of a different year with William, you know, all his problems that he had, and he left the state. So that opened up a lot more opportunities for me and other riders.
And so given those opportunities, I guess it shows you, if you're on a good horse, Chrissy, you can still get the results which you have done. Health-wise, body-wise, and I know you might have been in doubt, I think, even last Saturday, just with a bit of a hip complaint. How's your fitness and health been?
Oh, it's been all right, yeah. I'm probably due for a bit of a spell, so I'm going to ride on Wednesday and then have a few weeks off after that. But, I had a bit of a hip issue throughout last week that sort of started on last Tuesday, and I've since been prescribed some, medications, and it's really, really helped me. So, not feeling the best, but feeling better than what I was last Tuesday.
Now, apart from having a spell, what about the Pinnacles upcoming, the new carnival in WA as it's been renamed? I assume you're setting yourself to be fresh and cherry ripe for that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's probably when I want to be at the top of my game. So have a nice break now, and if we can get back and win some nice races at the end of the year, that's why we all do it.
Now, 12-event card on Saturday. I was having a look through. We're busy doing some footy commitments, but didn't ride a winner, Chrissy, which surprised me. It was a 12-event card as well.
Yeah. No, we didn't have a great day Saturday. Had the 9 rides, and I think I had 3 seconds,
yep,
I think. So,
correct.
And a third. So, it wasn't a great success Saturday, but every now and again that can happen. You just got to regroup and go again.
We've had some amazing conditions, mate. I mean, I don't think I've seen a winter like it for a little while, where we've had quite a few meetings already cancelled and a really heavy track. How much different is that to experience when you're riding? Because it doesn't happen that often, mate.
Yeah, no, we're pretty lucky over this side of the country. We don't get the torrential rain that we see over in Sydney and parts of Queensland as well. But we're pretty lucky. We just get a couple of months throughout the winter where the tracks are pretty tired and pretty waterlogged, which does make for pretty messy racing. Not ideal for us to go around in those conditions, but every now and again we dealt those conditions and we just have to put up with it.
With the COVID protocols that were introduced, and obviously that's what forced Willie to move into state so that he could continue riding in, the races that he's very, very good at. With that situation that has now continued to unfold with COVID in our community, how to what lengths are you guys going and girls going to actually keep COVID out of the jockeys' room and those sorts of scenarios, or have pretty much most of the restrictions lifted now for you?
We have been through a fair bit with it, like everyone else, but I guess the last sort of 3 months, everything's kind of relaxed a little bit. The only thing that we do have to do is do a COVID test when we get on course for each meeting, which is, it's a little bit of a hassle, but it's not the end of the world, but we have to do that. But obviously, but like everyone else, we had to wear masks and social distance. And in the early part of it all, there was lots of different new rules introduced just to keep the industry going. But we did quite well, I think, to, push through that period, and we seem to have, be coming out the other side now.
Talking with Chris Parnham, WA leading jockey, of course, fresh from winning his second straight Perth Jockeys Premiership. Chris, 25 years of age. We know that a WA superstar called Damien Oliver, I think he's 50 now, or very close to it, if not. I know that's a fair way off, and he's a bit of an icon of the sport. But on that basis, in terms of your career and reaching a peak, you've still got a bit of time up your sleeve, young man.
He stands on his own, Damien Oliver, and he always will. So I very much doubt that I'll ever ride to his age, which is 50, or have any type of his success. But, being 25, as a jockey, it's still reasonably young. Even though I've been doing it for 10 years, we start pretty young as well. We can go a lot further into our lives than footy players or other sportsmen that sort of have to tend to retire in their 30s. But I'm feeling pretty good at the moment, and hopefully I've got a few more years left in me yet.
Well, I suppose, mate, on this particular point, when you look at your brother, Stevie, who's 36, I think, now. He's had a bit of rotten luck with injuries himself. But that's the only thing that cuts you down, mate, really, isn't it? I mean, if you can stay physically fit and healthy and not have any accidents and incidents out there on the racetrack, then you should be able to push through pretty well.
Definitely. I've been pretty lucky with injuries, so poor old Stevie and even Brad hasn't been that lucky with them, and lots of jockeys have their injuries, but I've, touch wood, been quite lucky and very fortunate in that area. I guess the other thing that can slow a jockey down a bit is weight issues, but I'm going okay in that area as well at the moment. Winter time makes it a little bit tougher, but compared to some of the other boys, I do it pretty good.
Yeah, we can relate to you and hear about winter and weight and issues, although we don't have to get down to 50 kilos, Chrissy. We mentioned the Pinnacles coming up later this year in Perth, but any of your dad's horses or any horses that you might be able to head east with during the spring carnival time to maybe pick up a big check or two?
I don't think so. I would like to go over at some point to ride, but just getting the opportunity to go is pretty hard. I find that you sort of need to be based in Melbourne to get the right opportunities, or New South Wales, you need to be kind of based there. But none of Dad's horses are probably good enough to go at the moment, so Probably won't be going this spring carnival.
No, I was reading there was one speculated that might be heading across in the paper this morning. I just can't remember who it is. I didn't bring the paper in with me, but it was quoted in the racing pages in the paper today that your dad might have one that he's looking at to actually take across. I just can't remember its name off the top of my head, but always an opportunity, I'm sure. If one came your way, would that be something that you'd desire to go and get across? I mean, for example, I mean, Bobby Peters, I saw that he's had to make a move with Damien, who got suspended on the weekend, so there's got to be some changes there. I think Jai McNeil's got into the saddle for some of the big races over there with Regal Power and others, but it's a good opportunity at the moment in your sport to actually get across and contest some of those big ones if you get the chance.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, but as I said, it's very hard for, if you're based in Perth, for someone just to ring you up and say, come across. Like, a lot of people in the East don't even watch Perth racing. So it does make it tough, especially when there's so many good riders over there. I think like jockeys in Perth kind of get overlooked. So unless you're William Pike, who's done what he's done for 15 years, he's a bit different, but the rest of us, yeah, we sort of need to have our own horse. Like, if I had a good ride for Dad that went over, that's probably the only way I'd get an opportunity over there, unless I base myself there again.
Well, you only have to keep on doing what you're doing, mate, and that's winning jockeys, Metropolitan Premierships, and being the very best. That's what you've done 2 years in a row, mate. Congratulations and good luck in the upcoming season. Take care. Thanks for chatting to us tonight here on Sports Day.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good on you. Chris Parnham, who is a very accomplished young rider and deserves all the accolades, and no reason why he couldn't get across there. It was actually interesting on the weekend. I was actually watching. There was a few races, of course, that were on Skeet, and we did have a 12-race card, but they kept on getting shunted across to Sky 2.
I noticed that.
And there's no respect shown. And he just talked about, no one from the East Coast watches the races because they all seem to have precedent over there. And it's, I don't think it's good enough. It's not like they were behind on time. They could have easily got the races through. And then one of the races finished. It was a really close race. I can't actually remember what number it was, but it was in the middle part of the day, in the middle part of the afternoon. I was watching the footy on one screen and had the racing on the other. The race finished. It was about a four-horse photo finish. And they flipped over to some other race. They didn't even give it the respect of the photo finish, getting down to the line to see who'd actually got the chocolates.
Good evening to Sky Racing as well. If you're listening, Carl's rant on this Monday. That's not a Wednesday wine. That's a Monday moment for Carl.
Thank you, Skeet. We'll clear a commitment, come back on the other side. Thanks to Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage, the cars of the year, Brett Phillips. I tell you what, Nick Kyrgios is in some rare form. Like him or loathe him. He's playing some good tennis at the moment. We'll talk about him next. Here.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company and great to see the form of Nick Kyrgios over the weekend. I really can't believe it, Skeet. I don't know what has possessed him, but he's playing some really good tennis and a man that has been right across all of the tennis action is the wide world of sports tennis anchor and host of The First Serve. And he joins us, Brett Phillips, here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate.
Hey, gents. Always good to be back on with you.
Nick Kyrgios, we touched on his form at the top, his seventh ATP title and first in 3 years. Is it fair to say he's in the form of his career?
Look, I've got to say, Mark, right now he's playing terrific tennis. He's letting the tennis do the talking. There's, I suppose the things that go on in a Kyrgios match, which are always going to be part of a Nick match. But on the whole, his tennis, Wimbledon here, prior to Wimbledon, when he played in that US hardcourt swing at Indian Wells, Miami, I think he's, 27-7 this year. If Wimbledon had have included the points, he would have been back in the top 20. I mean, he's playing top five tennis. I think the line of the day, and he went out and won the doubles today as well with Jack Sock, so the first man in the history, 53-year history of that tournament in Washington to actually win the singles and doubles. But Ivan Dodig, who many people listening in mightn't know, Croatian. He's won men's doubles grand slams, been a doubles specialist for a long time. He looked over at Nick at the presentation. He said, "What are you doing, man? I mean, you should be number one. You should be number one in the world." And Nick, gave him, the courtesy of, thank you, appreciate that. And I just wonder if that'll sit in Nick's head now that, okay, a lot's gone on in my life, tennis-wise, off the court, I'm now 27, 28. This is, I suppose, as stable as I've seen the off-court situation. I mean, there's been a few, you know, obviously a few girlfriends that have come and gone, and this, he seems just in a really, really good place, which is obviously resulting in some more stable tennis. Because we just say it again, Mark and Carl, his tennis is off the charts. It's top five tennis. That's where we would love him to be. Whether he still wants to maybe chase that possible dream, we'll have to wait and see. But you know that every time he steps out, if he's in a good frame of mind and physically okay, he's going to win far more tennis matches than he loses.
Is the hard court surface, which is what the City Open was played on over there in Washington, D.C. in the United States, do you think that's now shaping as the best surface and the one that he's going to have the most success on, you reckon?
Well, I suppose, Carl, it is the surface where the majority of tournaments are played on during the year. We get that little swing of grass, the clay, which Nick's not a fan of. He's just decided now I'm not going to play the clay court season. That's my time to stay home, have some normality, which means I don't have to grind for necessarily 8 to 9, 10 months of the year. I can do it for maybe 5 to 6, still get good enough results that can elevate the ranking. And this is what he can do that not many players are afforded. We've got to grind and really dig a bit deeper. Nick's natural talent can just elevate him to another level. So, this period, he'll go to Montreal this week and play the Masters 1000. We'll see how he comes up physically. He put in some hard yards this week. He had to double up a couple of days with the rain in Washington and play his quarterfinal and his semifinal. And, New York is a place where he could absolutely dominate. They love him there, the New Yorkers. So I think we just go one tournament at a time, but there is a subtle change there. We'll see if it's sort of quantifiable, sustainable over a period. And he's at that point now where, I can really maximise this and set up my career. But let's hope we're not jumping too early and then we're going to get let down. But we'll wait and see. I mean, he really, at the end of the day, he's not letting us down. He sets his own expectations. And, if you just love your tennis and love watching him, it's bloody good value for money, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Saw a documentary on Jimmy Connors and the New York crowd love him. And there's a little bit of Nick here that shows us those same characteristics, good and bad, by the way. We've talked about his form, but I specifically didn't drop a serve all week in this event. And at Wimbledon, in the final, I don't think he could have served any better. So that's a huge weapon still for him.
Yeah, and it's such a hard serve to read. You're just looking at players, are they shifting left, shifting right? Is it going to go T? Is it going to go wide? It's a really hard serve to read. And certainly we always talk about, John Isner and Riley Opelka, who's the young John Isner, these guys over 200 centimetres who, it's a massive weapon. But, for players of not that dimension, they can make that a key part of their game. I mean, even the great Roger Federer has had one of the finest serves. He never gets spoken about in that regard. Djokovic has improved his first serve enormously. So, yeah, for Nick, it is the go-to. Look, any time he's got to maybe just dig himself out of a little hole, he's 15-30 down or he's 30-40 down, staring at a break point, he can just go to that and it just whistles past your ears. So, his serving was absolutely on song once again.
And to be winning both the singles and the doubles tournaments, which he's made a little bit of a habit of, particularly when it comes to the doubles, and it doesn't matter which opponent he's with either. Jack Sock this time from the United States, he seems to be able to, team up and get it done, and the environment he's creating out on the court is one that is certainly been a little bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah, he loves the doubles, absolutely loves it, and obviously it's a tricky one because in modern tennis you just... you just can't step up and play singles, doubles like the old days, every single tournament. But he does enjoy anything that's that sort of team environment. It's more than just him. He's got someone else to bounce off. He's got, someone else to share the joy or the frustration with. And, it's either Thanasi, who's his sort of, Australian bromance, or it's Jack Sock, who's his American bromance. They're the two he bonds with the most on the tour. And, Nick, I think we'd love to see any of those top flight players. We would love to see play more doubles if somehow, the schedule could allow that. And, I think all these tournaments, these 250s, the 500s, they put a lot of weight on the doubles. But, the Americans, this little swing here, Atlanta, Washington in particular, they absolutely love Nick Kyrgios, let me tell you, over there. And obviously they, would, I imagine, pay him a little bit extra on top of the prize money to be at that tournament. So he could have pulled out pulled out of the doubles, for example, today, Carl, and he didn't want to let the tournament down, even though he was probably a little bit gassed.
So all of the attention turns to Canada now, to Montreal. Kyrgios Demenour will be in action there. The action kicks off tomorrow night. Isla Tomljanovic, Storm Sanders is going to be playing there, along with Astra Sharma, a couple of our West Aussie girls. But Daria Saville, a semi-final at Washington also. She's actually been really competitive too recently.
It's a great year. Yeah, great year for Dasha. Just to think, February, March, she had no ranking. No ranking. She was starting from scratch, coming back from that Achilles, which had really derailed her for the best part of a couple of years. And she's now got her ranking to about, 73. So it's an incredible run. She's done it in the bigger tournaments where the points are obviously pretty valuable. And look, she does set herself apart, Dasha, from the rest of our Australian girls. She's got an incredible level of... just competitiveness, passion out there. She rides every single point. She's certainly, for a girl of her stature, she's never been renowned for having a big serve, but she's getting more value on the serve. She's really worked on that. And she's just a player. When you're up against her in the draw, you don't want to be playing her because she makes you fight and scrap for absolutely everything. Can she get back to the top 20 where she was? I would say that women's tennis is so open that there is still that possibility, which would be, quite an extraordinary comeback after a couple of really tough years with injury.
Great to chat, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us again tonight.
No problems. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Brett Phillips there, Wide World of Sports Tennis anchor and host of The First Serve. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter with a big range of top brand outdoor power gear at the Toolkit Depot. We'll come back with Mark Reddings' Kia's Top 7 next here on...
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage. Cars of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into our Kia Top 7 for the Kia EV6 and Sportage, Skeet, the cars of the year.
Yes, we're focusing on some big hauls, some important hauls in the AFL this weekend. At number 7 from the Fremantle Dockers, Rory Lobb, 4 goals next to his name. Could have been an audition for the team he's about to join, the Western Bulldogs. Either way, he got the job done. Some goals from long range, outstanding effort. At number 6, one of my favourites, Shea Bolton, 17 disposals. He could straighten up his kicking a bit. He kicked 4 goals, 5 against. His inaccuracy has been something that hasn't helped his cause, but he was outstanding in the win over Port Adelaide. He's at number 6. At number 5, Jesse Hogan, former Fremantle Docker, West Aussie. 4 goals, 17 disposals, 12 marks. Big return for him. He's enjoying his footy at Greater Western Sydney. Zach Bailey at number 4, 19 disposals, 4 goals. And at the Brisbane Lions really tearing Carlton to shreds in the first 3 quarters on their way to a 33-point victory. Jack Gunson continues to get the job done for the Hawks in their victory this time over the Gold Coast Suns. 5 goals next to his name. He comes in at number 3. And number 2, a 7-goal haul to Nick Larkey, the North Melbourne spearhead. Isn't he a player when he's on song? And certainly a forward that North Melbourne can build their next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years around. And at number 1, really no question about it. In game number 293 and his final match, Josh Kennedy, 8 goals. He is number 1 in our Kia Top 7. Josh Kennedy, well done. Amazing career. Our Kia Top 7, thanks to Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage, cars of the year.
That 8 goals was the biggest haul by any player this season, and it also equals Lance Franklin's record at Optus Stadium. So he goes into the record books, JK, with that. Let's get into On This Day. Thanks to Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything.
Now, on this day in 1900, the first Davis Cup, named after Dwight Davis, began in Massachusetts in the United States. In 1907, rugby league was born in Australia when a meeting of 50 people assembled at Bateman's Hotel in George Street in Sydney. And then fast forward, more than a century later, in 2010, the All Blacks won the Bledisloe Cup for the 8th year in a row. They have become a behemoth of the sport, as we like to say, Carl. They have had a few issues lately, the All Blacks, but certainly they have been the preeminent side when it comes to rugby in the world. On this day, thanks to Bower and O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything.
How's some of the media around the All Blacks? Festering with pus and infection. Time to ring the razor. New Zealand take All Blacks to the cleaners. They have been absolutely scathing in their criticism. That's all we've got time for here on the show. It's been great to have your company here on this Monday night. It was a big weekend of footy, and well done to JK and well done to the Freo Dockers. And we will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Next on your radio is Todd Johnston. He'll have the night shift and he'll take you through until midnight here on 6 p.m.